You ever have those moments when you feel like you, in your heart, you're doing cartwheels and you want to do a flip and a twist off the stage? That was great. Thank you for those that manifested. No, don't do it. Right. Even a cartwheel, don't do it. Some churches might do that, but not me. I got a bunch of announcements, so if you would please put your ears on and listen to these announcements. The Parents Weekend registration forms are now available in the lobby and will be online. And the deadline to register is September 19th. And in light of that online part of that, we do have a website for those of you who maybe don't know much about it, but the address is ssg.church. Is that correct? Okay. Got that part right. I just know just touching things. That's all I know. I don't know. I never pay attention to the address, but it's ssg.church. And also, from our family camp weekend, there is a myriad of, that's a word. Okay, cool. I'm always corrected by my words. I just use words, what I think they mean. But there's a ton of photos from our family camp weekend that will super, super bless you. Every area that we were in, I mean, I don't even know what the distance is from this backfield to the backfield over there, but that's how far the activities were going on. So there is tons of photographs. I'm sure you'll find yourself in one of them. So just look at that. And then there's all kinds of other stuff on that website. And if you need help getting to that, then ask one of our younger adults here. They can show you how to do the website. There'll be a men's prayer meeting this, we don't do breakfast anymore, prayer meeting this Saturday, August 21st at 9 p.m. or 9 a.m. out here. The bookstore is going to be open after fellowship today, and there's plenty of people there to help you and direct you if you have questions. I know they have all different Bibles for all different seasons of your life, the small print, giant print, different translations, all good godly material to help in your study of the Word and grow in a knowledge of who you are in Christ. And also there's a leaders meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 for those of you who are a part of that. And before our brother in Christ, Brian Donahue, comes up and shares God's word with us today, we're going to sing number 85. Now, you guys were all pretty quiet on the other songs, but they were pretty tender songs. But this one, I want to hear you on it. Number 85, My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me. I trust
in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea, or come what may, from day to day, my Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He can.
you, Danny. Thanks, Jordan. How's everyone doing this morning? Yeah? All right. It's good to see everyone. Before we get started, I did want to thank Tom for the privilege of being up here. He's not here in the audience today, but I'm sure he's going to hear this, so thank you very much, Tom. And I'm going to pray. God Almighty, I thank you for the privilege we have to have your word, to learn it. Father, thank you for its perfection and its steadfastness that we can rely on it completely with our entire lives. Father, help us all, including myself, to have our ears open to what your word has to say today. And help us to put it on, help us to take it into our lives and live it out so that we can be blessed and also so that you can be glorified. So I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Just going to get my notes in order here. This teaching is about righteousness. We've heard a lot about righteousness in the past couple weeks, especially at the family weekend, but we can hear some more. It's specifically about being made righteous and how that relates to walking in the Spirit. Because in order to walk in the Spirit with our whole lives, we have to understand what it is to be made righteous. Otherwise, we will falter. It's something that God wants us to know. So, to get started, got to ask the question, what is righteousness? And why do we care about it? If you're not familiar with the scriptures, righteousness might just be some biblical term. You know, it's written in books somewhere, but what does it have to do with real life? If I were to define righteousness, I would say it is the quality of being able to stand before a judge free from accusation or fault. It's a legal term. It means that when you go on trial, there's nothing that can be said against you. You would be declared innocent. There would be nothing to lay at your charge. We can start by turning to Matthew chapter 27. We'll see an example of this. Matthew 27, this is one of the accounts of Jesus Christ being on trial before he was crucified. Now we know that Jesus Christ was completely innocent, completely righteous. If anyone was righteous, it's Jesus Christ. There was no reason for them to put him on trial. There's no reason for them to condemn him to death. We know that that's what happened because that's what we needed for our salvation. It was part of God's plan. It was not an accident. But I want to point out what's said about this. Jesus Christ was being put before Pontius Pilate, who was the governor. He was the judge from man's perspective at that time. It says in Matthew 27, verse 19, when he, Pontius Pilate, was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. His wife apparently had this dream where she was either just told or she saw some things that made her just convince her that this guy had done nothing wrong. He should not even be on trial, much less be condemned. She said, don't have anything to do with him. That would have been the right decision for Pilate. He didn't follow through with that. So that's the essence of what righteousness is. There's no fault or condemnation before a judge. I do want to point out that it says just here. In the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, the word we're talking about is sometimes translated as just. It's sometimes translated as righteous. There are other forms of it, like righteousness, justification, justified. They're all from the same handful of Greek words. And so, really, you can interchange just and righteous. You can interchange justification and righteousness. They're not just synonyms, they're the same word in the Greek. So I may refer to it as a little bit, I may say righteous when the verse says just. It's simply for simplicity's sake as I'm teaching. Just keep that in mind as we're going through here. and we got to ask, why is righteousness important to us? We're glad that Jesus Christ was righteous, but what does that mean to us? And one of the reasons is because you got to be righteous if you want to be saved. Like, that's something you have to do. But more basically, let's go to Psalm 11. Psalm 11, in verse 7. It says, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance," or his face, doth behold the upright." The reason we care about righteousness is because God loves righteousness. God is righteous, and he loves righteousness. And if we're concerned about knowing God, understanding him, walking with him, loving him, then we're concerned about what he's concerned about. Now, on top of that, it is true that you have to be righteous to be saved. That's a prerequisite. There's going to come a day when all righteousness is going to be done away with. It's going to be destroyed. And those who are not saved by believing on Jesus Christ are not going to, they're not going to be saved. I'm sorry. You have to be righteous. We're going to see later that the righteousness that we have is not because of our works. It's not because we earned it. It's a gift in Jesus Christ. Anyone can be righteous by believing on him. I just want to throw that out there before we get into the meat of the teaching, that we have to be righteous to be saved, but it's very easy to do so, and anyone can do it simply by believing on Jesus Christ. So I want to take a minute and talk about the last couple weeks here. We've talked about a couple things. One thing to note in here is that God hates sin. God detests it. It's abominable to him. He cannot accept it in his presence. He does not allow it. That's something we talked about briefly a couple weeks ago when Tom was teaching on repentance. You know, when you see sin in your life, it needs to go. It's not acceptable to us. We don't make excuses for it. We don't say, "Oh, that's just a little bit of sin. I can allow that." No, it needs to go, because God hates it, and we love God. Last week, Sean talked about that we love God, and that's why we want to follow him. That's why we want to serve him. He draws us to himself. We love him because he first loved us. He sent his son to pay for our sins. He gave his son for us, and we love him. We saw at the family weekend that the way we walk with God is by walking by the Spirit. You know, turn to Galatians 5. We'll look at that briefly. These teachings are all available on the website that Danny mentioned, by the way. And I'm sure a lot of you were here for the weekend and for the last two Sundays, so you probably remember those. What I'm teaching today will really help if you want to live that way, if you want to follow those teachings. In Galatians 5, verse 16, "Is this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." When we believe on Jesus Christ, we receive Holy Spirit. We are enabled to walk in a new way. Those who haven't believed can't do that, but we can. And it's a gift. Again, anyone can get it. We're not special, but we've been given something very special. And when we do that, when we walk by the Spirit, we do not fulfill the evil lusts that have been in the world ever since Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. We don't follow that. We walk in a new way. We walk as Jesus Christ in this world. And how amazing is that? Have you read about Jesus Christ? That's really amazing. So what we're going to talk about this morning is being made righteous. And we have to believe, we have to understand and believe that we have been made righteous if we want to walk by the Spirit in our whole lives. It will really help us. So let's go to Romans chapter 3. And you can keep your finger in the book of Romans. We're going to be flipping through a couple different chapters, but we are going to be coming back to Romans quite a bit. So Romans chapter 3, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with these verses too. In verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." So the righteous God who loves righteousness, as we saw in Psalms, anyone who believes on Jesus Christ receives that righteousness for themselves. And because of that, is able to stand before him completely free from accusation, completely free from fault. God is never going to punish us for our sins. It says in verse 23, this isn't because of we did everything right. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified or made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Not one of us got in on our own. It was always a gift, and we can offer that to anyone who wants to receive it. It is freely available to all. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Remember, just keep your finger in Romans, a ribbon or something. Ephesians 1, verse 7. It says, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Steve wears a coat that has forgiven on the back. It's a good coat, Steve. We all are forgiven in Christ, and thank God for that. We'll praise God till the trumpet sounds for that. If that's the extent of what we had in Christ, we will be so tremendously blessed. We will be, God will be worthy of praising forever, just for what he's done for us. But he has done more for us. In Christ, what we have and the righteousness that we have is more than just we're forgiven for our sins and now we no longer have to pay for them. Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross. That is absolutely true. We've got more. He also accomplished more on the cross. I want to give you an illustration of the difference between being made righteous and being declared righteous. Let's say that I decide to rob a bank. And so I go to the bank, I smash open the cash register and steal a bunch of money. And as I'm running out the door, I throw the bag on the ground and run away. And eventually I get put on trial for this, but because there's no evidence or this or that or something, the judge declares that, hey, you're free to go. You're not going to be punished for this. We're not going to convict you of this crime. In essence, he just declared me righteous. Does that judge actually make me righteous? Like, no, I robbed the bank, but they couldn't convict me for one reason or another. Now, let's say that as I'm running out the bank, Corey happens to be wandering down the road, completely unrelated, and I throw him the bag of money, and I run away. And then the cops see Corey standing there, and with the bag of money, and they put him on trial and convict him. And so he's put in jail. The judge declared him not righteous. Is he not righteous? No, he's righteous. He didn't do it. He's completely innocent. He had nothing to do with it. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. That kind of judgment in the world does not change you on the inside. At best, it is accurate to what actually happened, and then punishment can result, or freedom can result, whichever is the case. What we've received in Christ is we have been forgiven of our sins, and we no longer have to pay for the things that we've done. But we've also been changed on the inside. Go to Romans, back in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. This is referring to Adam in the Garden of Eden. By his sin, many were made sinners. And then the second man listed here, by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. This is not just declared righteous. This is not just forgiven of our sins. This is something that changes us on the inside, where we are not the same thing as we used to be. We can consider the Old Testament for a moment, how in the Old Testament there were men who were declared righteous. It says they were counted righteous, like Abraham. You can look this up later if you want. Genesis 15, verse 6, it says, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. That did not change Abraham on the inside. Abraham was still subject to the sin of Adam. He was still under the curse of Adam. It was still his nature to be a sinner. You can look at men like King David, who are also referred to as righteous in the Old Testament. David still committed sins. And you can view it as when David sinned, that was his true nature peeking out. That was who he really was. He was condemned in Adam. He was a sinner by his nature. And he could not escape that by his works. And he was a great man. I'm not trying to get on David's case. He's far greater than I am, except for what I've been given in Christ. But he was still under that condemnation. That's still who he was. He could not escape it. And the way to escape it had not yet been made available yet. Second Corinthians chapter 5, please. Second Corinthians 5, and in verse 21. It says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin," as in Jesus Christ knew no sin, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We have been made God's righteousness. As righteous as God is, that's how righteous we are now. What could you ever accuse God of? He's perfect. There is nothing that you can find fault in him. That's what we've been made in Christ. Flip back to Romans, please. We'll see how this happened just briefly. Chapter 6. How could that possibly happen? Because I did those sins. I committed those sins. I know what I did. You know, I didn't murder anyone. You know, I didn't rob a bank, but sin is sin. Whatever it is, everyone in this room has done it. If it's just lying just on your taxes, okay, that's evil. God hates that. It's abominable to him. And we've all done it. So how can we say that that's no longer who we are? How can we say that I am righteous now, not just declared righteous? Romans 6, verse 3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." When we believed on Jesus Christ, it says that we were baptized into Christ. It doesn't have anything to do with water. It just means we were immersed in Christ. And because of that, we died with him. Because of that, we were buried with him. And because of that, we were raised to new life with him. So the sins that I committed, the sins that David Hoffman committed, the sins that Max over there committed, those died when we believed on Jesus Christ. That person who did that died. And a new person was raised in the place of that, one that is righteous, one that is completely new, completely washed clean, not lacking anything. There's no fault in it. Verse 4 again, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." That which God raises from the dead has no faults. He doesn't raise it to the same state as it was before in Christ. What would be the point of that? When he raised us from the dead in Christ, we were made complete. We were made lacking nothing. We were made perfect. Verse 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." You know, that old man is gone. The old me that was subject to sin, that bore the consequences of sins, that's gone. It's dead. I no longer have to pay for it. I no longer am that person. Back Back to verse 19 again, or chapter 5, verse 19 again. I want to touch on this verse just briefly again. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." I think most of us are familiar with the Garden of Eden, where Adam was put there and Eve was put there, and they were perfect. They were righteous. There's nothing lacking there. The sin that we see in our lives, the sin that we see in the world, it was all the result of Adam's sin. That all entered because of his choice. And as far down as Adam brought us, the work of Jesus Christ has brought us just as far up, further, really. But the righteousness that was there, the state of the man that was there, where he was not tainted, that was restored in Christ, and more. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm well aware that we don't always walk this way. We don't always do what's righteous. We don't always do what's best, even though that's who we've been made in Christ. It's a real good question to ask, of why don't we? And the answer is in Ephesians 4, among other places in the Scriptures. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former behavior the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, in our minds, we put off everything that came from Adam, the habits, the thoughts, the patterns, the ways of thinking. We put that off. In verse 24, and then you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We can put on a new way of thinking, of believing God with every moment, of trusting him and trusting his word, of choosing his ways. We can do that with every moment. And this has been taught before, but the point I want to make tonight or today is simply that this is who we are. This is what we've been made to be. This new mind was made for us, and we were made for it. You're not putting on something that doesn't fit you, you know, like someone who's cross-dressing and a man putting on woman's clothes pretending to be a woman. That's not what we're doing, but it sometimes feels like it because we're not used to it. We haven't been taught. It's a strange thing to us, but it is who we are. It is normal for us, whether it feels like it or not. You know, we do sin still. But when we sin, it is not our true self peeking out. It's just the opposite. It's just some remnants of the habits we had before we were born again. And even if it happens all the time, that's still what it is. Even if we never renew our minds, we still are righteous on the inside. This new man is the normal for us. This is who we've been made to be. Turn to Psalm 103, please. I'll give you an example of Psalm 103, in verse 20. It says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Do we expect angels to sin? Like, even if you don't know much about angels, they're like up in heaven. They do what God wants. You don't need to keep tabs on them to make sure that they're doing what's right. You know, like they're a little kid. That's what they do. It's who they are. That's the same with us. Haven't we been made God's sons and daughters? Now again, we don't always do that, but it is our nature now. It is who we are. It is who we are on the inside. Let's go to Romans 12. Hope your finger's still in Romans. We are still coming back to that. We'll be coming back yet again. Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Since we live in this world, if we do not consciously decide to live this way, if we do not consciously decide to put on God's word to renew our minds, we will be conformed to this world. The world is full of temptations sent out there by the devil. There's traps laid for us. There's temptations. There's pleasures and lusts and pressures and all kinds of stuff. That's all designed to get you to stop doing this. So if you do not decide, then you will be conformed to the way the world does things. You will end up walking by the flesh. You will end up walking in sin. So it's very important that we do decide this. But even if we never do this, walking by the flesh is not who we are. Being conformed to the world is not who we are. We are spiritual beings. We are new in Christ. We are God's sons and daughters. And that is not based on what we do now. It is based entirely on what Jesus Christ has done for us. And the fact that we just said, okay, we just said, yes, I'll take that. Thank you very much. It's, you know, we are God's sons and daughters. Can the offspring of the righteous God be any less than righteous through and through? And God knows we don't always walk this way. He does help us when we aren't walking by the Spirit, when we aren't walking righteously. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. We'll see how he addresses these things. 1 Corinthians 6, in verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They have no place in it. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Maybe some of us have done some of these things in the past or are still doing some of these things in the past. Certainly the Corinthians were doing some of these things. The people that Paul was talking to in this section were doing these things. And yet, verse 11, it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." It says, independent of your actions, you used to be this, but now you are washed. You are sanctified, but you are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So when God sees us walking unrighteously, walking by the flesh, walking in sin, he doesn't just give us commandments to follow. He doesn't just say, "You guys are bad, you need to stop there, or else I'm going to be mad at you." No, he says, "That's not who you are. You're my children, you're righteous. You've been washed by the blood of Christ. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You're not that person anymore." Yeah. This does coincide right with what we talked about at the family weekend, that we do not live by the law. The law was made for people who were bound to sin. It was made to tell them this is what's right and this is what's wrong. But as ones who are new in Christ, who have righteousness on the inside, we aren't commanded, "Here's a list of things to do." No, we're commanded, walk as who you are. Renew your mind, put on the mind of Christ, and what's going to come out is good stuff, not bad stuff. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. What's going to come out is caring for one another. What's going to come out is glorifying God. That's if we put on the mind of Christ, if we renew our mind. Because it's in there. Because we have been made that. And like I said, God does work with us when we do not walk this way. But again, I feel like a lot of the times we view sin in our life as that's who I really am. You know, I fell short, you know, I just went back to being the way I really am for a little bit. And now I've got to try to make myself into something that is higher. No. The way God views it as when we walk by the flesh, God views it as a temporary, short-term lapse of our, it's a temporary, short-term disruption of our natural state. You know, because he knows that we're righteous. He sees really clearly. We get confused. We get blindsided. We forget. But God doesn't. There's a lot of parents out there. You've got kids, right? Who's taught their kid to ride a bike recently, or maybe a while ago? Taught your kid to ride a bike? Did it take a little bit of time? Maybe your kid picked it up right away. Maybe they jumped on a bike and they're just going. Great. But there's some kids who take a little bit, you know? They get on the bike and they take the training wheels off and you give them a push and they fall over. And you get them back on the bike and you give them a push and they fall over. And you kind of roll them around by the handlebars and then get them going and they fall over. And it might take a little bit of time. The kid might get discouraged. The kid might tell you, I'm just never going to get this. I just can't do it. I don't know what's wrong. As a parent, you are 100% convinced that they can do this. Because you know it. Because you know who they are. They're your child. They can do this. There's no doubt in your mind. And God views us the same way. It's so much bigger. You know, God thinks in terms of walking like Jesus Christ, of glorifying him in an evil world. And he knows we can do it. There is no doubt in his mind that we can do that. And God maintains that vision for us. He sees long term, and he knows that the bumps in the road that we encounter, they're just that. It's a little bit tough right now, but we've got it in us because he put it there. Romans chapter 7, please. I know personally I've gotten frustrated. I've gotten discouraged in this manner. And I felt like this guy in Romans 7. You know, Romans 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. You know, I see what's right, and I see the life that God has called us to, and I want to do that, and I try, and I fail. I fall flat on my face. And I try it again, and I fail, and I fall on my face again. And you know, what comes out of me is not godliness or righteousness. What comes out of me is sin. And I get discouraged. I think there's a lot of people who are in the same place or who have been in the same place. Has anyone felt that way, the same way? Yeah. God's word says that that's not who we are. We are capable of living this life because of what he has done. And if we will stick with him, he will show us, he will guide us, he will encourage us, he will work in us. And we have been made for this, literally. So let's not give up. One second. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 5. This is Paul talking to Timothy, talking about how he remembers him. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, Timothy was getting discouraged. He was getting afraid because of the pressures around him. And he was tempted to just draw back from what God had called him to do. you know, the service he was doing in Ephesus, the ministry that God had given him in Christ when he was born again, he was tempted to draw back. And Paul was encouraging, no, don't do that. We've been given something more. We've been made something more. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There's a lot of words in here, but God is bringing everything into Christ. He's restoring the entire creation in Christ. This was his plan all along. And it says in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We get a part in that. The plan of God Almighty from the beginning of time, we get a part in that. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. When men and angels look at us as the body of Christ, they glorify God. They say, that's amazing what he has done for us, what he has done in us. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 8. Paul is speaking here about his own ministry, what God had called him to do specifically in this life. It says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things. And the rest of that verse is not in the text. Paul recognized that anyone who believes in Christ had a part in this. Paul recognized that anyone who believes on Jesus Christ had been given the ability and been given the freedom to live in a new way. And he was working hard to bring everyone to that point. As Christians, we can do that for each other. You know, if I see someone walking in a way that's not righteous, we can call each other out for that. We can say, hey, that's not who you are. Don't you realize that you've been made righteous? Don't you realize that in you is the Holy Spirit of God, that we are God's sons? We have nothing to do with that unrighteousness now. There's no condemnation in that. There's no hatred in that. But there is a purity, and there is a vision that we're something. We're better than that. Continuing on in Ephesians 3, verse 10. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can rise up to this, the eternal purpose, the purpose of the ages that God has called us to. We've been made that. We haven't just been called to it. We haven't just been given the right equipment. We've been made something new. Let's go to Hebrews 10. And I hope today that we've seen that there is no reason to shrink back. We can get discouraged. We can get frustrated. We can find excuses for ourselves because maybe we have put our whole heart into serving God. Maybe it was just a little bit, maybe it was just in a little way, or maybe it was in a really big way. But we put our heart into serving God, and it crashed and burned around us. Maybe it was just a short time in your life, maybe it was a long time in your life. We have to look at that not as this is just the way things go for me, but, well, you know, I fell off the bike. That's all. I can get back on the bike because I am God's son. If Jesus Christ can walk this way, then so can I. Hebrews 10, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are not those who draw back. We are those who move forward into what God has made us. This verse is about salvation. That's how we begin the Christian life, by believing God's words, by taking him at his word and taking that step that seems impossible. You know, believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, which is ludicrous. How does that happen? That doesn't work. People don't get up from the dead, but we believed that. And we see the results of that. We are saved. We are completely made whole in that one moment of time. In the same way, we take these words that we've been made something new, that we've been made a new creation in Christ, and we step out on that every day. That even though I see with my eyes that I'm the same exact person as I've always been, I see with my eyes that I've tried this 100 times before and I've always failed. That's not what God says. God says there's more available. God says that we have been made something new, that we have been made righteous, that we are his children. We don't draw back, we press forward. So I'm going to pray. God Almighty, I thank you for what you've given us. I thank you for what you've made us. I thank you for your spirit within. I thank you for the sonship that we have. Father, I pray for myself and for everyone here that you would help us to have our eyes open to what you've done for us. Open our eyes to who we are. Open our eyes to who you are. Open our eyes to what it means to walk as a son of God and walk as Jesus Christ in this world. I pray that you help us to encourage each other, help us to help each other. Help us to walk together as a body, glorifying you in this world. I pray for this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ.